Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. And after the shows air live here on WKOK, we can drop them right into your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them on demand anytime, anywhere. And you can also tap into our podcast database. We always have 3 months of shows archived at stevejonesshow.com. You can drop us an email as well, stevejones at wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle, at stevejonespsu. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll be with you live until 5 here on WKOK. Then we'll have our late day news roundup. Matt Cotrillo will be at the anchor desk. And then tonight after 7, CBS Sports Radio here on WKOK. So we're down to the final four, the top two teams in each conference in the National Football League. Conference championship Sunday this weekend. Of course, you can hear both games on Sunday here on WKOK. 3:05 will be Rams at the Saints, and in the AFC title tilt at 6:40, it's going to be the Chiefs' first time hosting an AFC championship game as they take on the number two seed, the New England Patriots. And the outstanding Patriots writer for the Boston Globe, Nora Princiati. It's been a little over a year since we've had Nora on the show. She will be joining us this afternoon at 4:35. Well, the Philadelphia Phillies are angling to contend in 19 this offseason. They've complemented their existing core by bringing in names like Andrew McCutchen, David Robertson, to name a few, the former closer of the New York Yankees. And the Phillies have a great deal of flexibility in their budget, which is why some Philly fans, and some I've talked to as well, would love to see both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado on the same team. Now, the Harper to Philly buzz has been louder after a very successful face-to-face meeting in Las Vegas over the weekend. And then Matt Gelb, one of the great Phillies beat writers from The Athletic, he pecked this out. He says the Phillies are believed to prefer Machado over Harper because he's an elite hitter and defender. But conflicting information has spread from team to team and agent to agent. That, of course, is by design. The Phillies do not benefit from broadcasting their preference. League sources insisted the Phillies have made this much clear during negotiations that they will not sign both players. Matt Gelb's piece in The Athletic includes much more than the Phillies' internal stuff this winter. So if you happen to have a subscription to The Atlantic, give it a full read. But the two main takeaways, the Phillies may prefer Manny Machado to Bryce Harper, and the Phillies, contrary to those fever dreams, won't be signing both free agents.
You can't. I take a long, hard look at this because the investment is so high on both. Now, I realize this is an unusual situation of having a 26-year-old free agent. That is unusual. Usually these guys are 28 to 32 in that range. But I'll tell you right now, who has succeeded with 10-year deals on free agents? Who? Now, these guys were older. They were older. But Albert Pujols, 10-year deal. All right. So do you wreck the entire salary structure on one guy? And again, have the Nationals won a playoff series with Bryce Harper? If he's the second coming or whatever, have they won a playoff series with Bryce Harper? Now, I would admit, I think Bryce Harper, in my opinion, has played well in the playoffs. But the Nationals haven't. But I do think that, for the most part, the moment has never been too big for him. The Dodgers, who were in the World Series in 2017, acquired Manny Machado to put them over the top in 2018. Did they win the World Series? Did Machado have a good World Series? Or did Machado play in the World Series and put forward the effort in the World Series that left more questions than answers? My problem, Sean, is this. Now, there's a big difference between ideology and real world. My ideology, as you know, and it's ideology, I didn't say it was realistic, but my ideology would be I would never sign a player for more than 5 years, and I would never sign a pitcher for more than 3. Now, realistically, could that work? Probably not.
Would you tack a 1-year option on both of those?
It'd have to be my option, not theirs. In other words, it has to be my option, team option. Because there's a shelf life here. And the Cardinals, when they could get the hometown discount, what did Pujols get? 10 years, 240 from the Angels? And supposedly they were trying to work on a 10-year, $225 million deal with the Cardinals. Okay? Well, they made the decision, the Cardinals did, that we could get 3 players per year for that number that could help us win, as opposed to having it all poured into a player. That's the decision, for example, the Phillies have to make. Do you pour all of that into a player, and does it set you back in the ability to acquire other players? Or is it one of those where you feel pretty comfortable about where you are with, for example, your pitch now, where your pitching staff is? Now, as you know, I had a long talk with Tommy McCarthy on Sunday, because Tommy was here. And I know they feel pretty good about their pitching staff, about where it is. Not perfect, but I think they feel pretty good about it. So that is something that needs a long, hard look. What do you have to sacrifice in order to get the big gun? The Phillies, it might be absolutely worth doing. Because they're trying to get over the top. But if you're other, and it might be worth doing for the White Sox, because they're trying to get themselves back in the game. I mean, the White Sox are trying to get themselves back in the game. That's why there's a lot of talk as to what they've been doing with Machado and showing him around and being bold about this. Here's another team that's looking at the Cubs. The Cubs have not been great in free agency. Yeah, I mean, the one move that they made was John Lester, which was off the charts. It was great for them. But Jason Hayward? Okay. Dexter Fowler? Mm-hmm. My question's a simple one. I know he'll make the team better. But to me, if you're going to make a move like that, it's got to be a move that gets you to the World Series. Because you are sacrificing other parts of the team and your ability to build around it because you're throwing, I mean, oh, you're going to pay a guy $35, $38 million a year? Okay, that, I don't really care about the luxury tax. It's not my money. But what's that going to do for tickets in terms of the price? What's it going to do for parking in terms of the price? What's it going to do eventually for concessions in terms of the price? What could it do for your cable bill? I mean, the Phillies aren't exactly on your Comcast cable for free. You know that. These are just some thoughts I have about while there's an initial rush to it, like, ooh, look what we got. Will you be better as a team? Yes. But do you then forfeit the ability to then put critical parts around said player? For example, if you were the Red Sox last year signed J.D. Martinez, okay? They got him for 5 years, $100 million, $20 million a year. But they signed him because they felt like he was the last piece. They already had Mookie Betts. They already had Andrew Benintendi. They already had Xander Bogaerts. They already had Craig Kimbrell and Chris Sale and people. They already had those people. But they felt that the one part that was missing was they did not have that guy to fill the David Ortiz role after he retired. So finally, after a long, drawn-out situation before spring training last year, they signed him. Are the Phillies in the spot where he's the last missing piece? I ask you that. Sean, you're a big Phillies fan.
I think they need one more pitcher. I mean, I think they need one more starter in the rotation. I mean, and that's obviously on top of either getting Machado or Harper. I mean, I really don't think they should stop after they get one of those superstar players. They get one more arm in the rotation, they'll be much better off. But how much money do they have left in the pie to get another hurler in the rotation?
Well, this is where I think they got fortunate last year with how the market played out by getting Arrieta. Now, what's interesting is Arrieta says basically the system, he got ripped off in the system. Get $30 million a year. If he feels ripped off in the system, how's the guy that's the plumber in Turbotville doing? Who might be providing a far more valuable service, I might add. Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, those are just some general thoughts. There, you know, Robinson Cano. Okay, did Seattle make the playoffs one time with Robinson Cano? No. What have the Angels done with Albert Pujols? And remember, Pujols also had around him Mike Trout. Or, if you're the Phillies, do you wait for Mike Trout? Bring him back home. You know what's interesting is, have you? I know you read the Facebook messages and you read the email to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that all the responses about Harper and Machado on our Facebook page have all been "Don't sign them"?
Yeah, it has been interesting.
I mean, every one of them. There's not. I mean, I'm talking all of them.
Boy, but if the Phillies don't sign either one of them, it's going to be a real test of the fans' patience if they look even more long-term down the road and maybe go for a Mike Trout.
Well, it does test the patience.
I can just hear fans say, what are they doing? What are they waiting for? Wasted opportunity.
Well, that's where Machado comes into play, and as does Harper. Right? It does put the excitement... And it gives the excitement level a jolt and a half about the coming season. What the Phillies did last year is they teased everybody. he teased everybody last year for the first. And I talked to Tommy about this on Sunday, and we had a good long talk at Shoot Around. And I said, you know, Tom, for 4.5 months, I said, they played so well, they teased everybody. I said, when you and I both knew that they were a year away. But see, and he said, yeah. He said, Stephen, once you let the genie out of the bottle, it's hard to put it back in and regain a perspective as to, well, yeah, they really were a year ahead. And once you're rolling and doing some good things, people don't think that way. Now they get like, well, I don't understand what went wrong. This was bad. And you can't blame them for feeling that way. And now you feel like you're on the verge. And to be honest with you, the conclusion of last season confused, I think, me as to, I don't know about you, but it confused me as to really how good are they. Were the real Phillies the team that played the first 4.5 months, or in reality, after the league caught up with them and adjusted to them, is the Philly team that played the last 6 weeks in reality the real Philly team? That's the part we don't know. Now, do guys like Harper and Machado, do they change the dynamic of that? Potentially, yes. It's interesting, though, that normally when a guy hits his free agent year, he goes great guns. And Machado had a great year. Harper didn't. That's what I found interesting. He didn't have a great year last year.
His first half of the year was really bad because he was, fluttering around, 220, 225, even lower than that batting average?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
But bringing one of those guys in, especially Harper, it would have a long-term domino effect on the team and the division as well.
Oh, it would do that. There's no doubt about that. It would, and again, they're in a division where you can make a move. You have to have the same, how strong do you think the Braves are? I think it's a legitimate question. They had a terrific year last year. They have a young team. They have some young stars, but can they duplicate what they did? I think it's an interesting question. Because right now, they're your prime competition. But sure would be a lot of money to get a guy like that. A lot of money. If you're talking $300 to $350 million a year, yo. And then here's the other part. How many years are you locked into that contract? See, that was the problem with Cano. That was the problem with Pujols. Even the Red Sox, to a point, they made an 8-year deal with Dustin Pedroia. Pedroia this past season only played 3 games. This is after Machado on that slide. He has not been the same since the Machado slide. All right, we will take a break. Headed toward the bottom of the hour. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best in the business. Best product, variety of product, service department there is unbelievable. Best sales staff. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Nora Princiati coming up from the Boston Globe in the final half hour of the show. I believe we also have Jonathan Bombulli coming up today, too, right? I believe it's...
We can, yep.
In this half hour.
Why, sure.
Yeah, we'll do that in just a few moments.
Yeah, get him on
get
the board.
Get to Jonathan. Yeah. Neil Coolong will be on tomorrow's show. So we'll do that. All right. And what I want to talk to with Neil tomorrow is this. What is so important in any organization? I don't care whether it's Sunbury Motors, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Broadcasting, this show, football, basketball, broadcast, whatever it may be, fit. Fit is so important. It's so important at what makes the basketball broadcast work. Dick Girardi and I fit. What makes our football broadcast well? Jack Ham and I fit. What makes this show work well? Sean and I fit. Can you know? I could sit here and do a whole week's worth of shows of what Sean's value is to this show every single day. Some ways I'm along for the ride, and it's all about fit. So Antonio Brown, all right, he is a guy of great skill. There's no question about that. Great receiver. Maybe he's the you could argue he might be the best receiver since Jerry Rice. You can argue that. So let's look at what's around him. Let's see. An offensive line that gives the quarterback time. Check. Another really good receiver to balance him on the other side. Check. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is to Antonio Brown what John Taylor was to Jerry Rice. Good running backs. Well, between Bell and Connor, yeah. And a big, strong-arm quarterback that can get the ball to him down the field. Check. The Steelers are the best fit for Antonio Brown. And he is whining, moaning, and complaining about his situation and how bad it is. It's almost stunning. You're shaking your head, aren't you?
Well, it's just been crazy here the last 3 or 4 days. All of a sudden, Antonio posts this picture on his Instagram account, and it shows this mural of half Jerry Rice on the left, half Antonio Brown on the right. And I just get to thinking with this, you know, and he buys this goat ring before Christmas, you know, because, you know, he feels he's the greatest of all time. Well, sure, you can buy whatever jewelry you want. You know, we don't care. But it just makes me wonder, with this ego getting bigger and bigger and bigger, if Jerry Rice never played for the San Francisco 49ers, why is this infatuation all of a sudden that AB wants to go to San Francisco? I just have a feeling he wouldn't be thinking okay. San Francisco if it wouldn't be for Jerry Rice.
Yeah, but now let's take this a tiny step further. Why does he want to go to California? If he is in such dire straits where he needs money, needs money, needs money, name the one state that is going to tax the living daylights out of him. Right? Why do you think so many athletes moved to Texas and Florida? There's no state income tax. All right. Speaking of California, the Pens are in San Jose tonight. San Jose's really good. Penguins are playing really well. Jonathan Bombulli joins us. Jonathan, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, the only B's I got are in my last name.
Okay. What is different about the Pens' level of play now compared to where it was 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they'd all like to know that because they would avoid the November swoon if they could. I mean, they do it almost every year. You know, either a slow start or a decent start, and then they struggle after that. Not to oversimplify, but goaltending is a big part of it.
Sure.
Matt Murray was hurt for about a month, struggled before that. So to the point where when he went out with an injury, we were all like, are they just, you know, is this sort of a phantom injury just to get him to rest and clear his head? But it turns out a little bit of a lower body injury, rested it, got back better, and has been just outstanding since he came back in the middle of December. So if I had to pick one thing, I'd pick goaltending, which, you know, in hockey, sometimes that's what you do. You pick goaltending.
Have they done a better job in front of him so that, A, he has a clear shot and view of the puck, and they also done a good job of minimizing pucks at him.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking to some guys about that before they left for the road trip, and they're not giving up fewer shots. So, you know, I mean, statistically, it hasn't been about sort of cracking down on possession. But they are giving up fewer really dangerous opportunities,
yes.
Fewer odd man rushes, and fewer rebounds, and so that's important. So, you know, they made some tactical changes, just real small things with the breakout, you know, little changes to the D zone coverage, nothing outrageous, but the end result is they're giving up more shots, but they're more perimeter shots, and goalies love that. I mean, a goalie, you know, doesn't necessarily like a game where he only sees 20 shots because he does nothing, 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 and then great chance. He'd rather have a game where he sees, you know, 35 if 30 of them are easy.
Right.
Then he's able to get into a rhythm and get a feel for the puck.
Because you and I both know, Jonathan, you know, the goalies at this level, if they can see it, they'll get it. I mean, it's very rare that they make a mistake that they don't get it. It's the ones that that's deflected. It's the one that they leave the big rebound, they're out of position, or it's the one where they're just completely shielded and can't see it.
You know, I was talking to Murray about that very topic, and he said that, like, when you're at the NHL level, the athleticism for goalies is, you know, off the charts. Every goalie in the league is a great athlete.
Yeah.
Every goalie in the league these days is big, and they're all over 6'2", and they all have, you know, like, modern technique. They're all technically sound. And what he thinks the difference is, and part of it is clearing the front so, you know, you don't have tips and screens, but he thinks the big difference is reading the play. And a goaltender, that's how goaltenders separate themselves at this level. It's who can anticipate where the puck's going to go. If you're thinking two passes ahead, you know, then you know where the shot's coming from. Then the puck hits you in the chest and it looks like you didn't make a difficult save. Well, it was a difficult save. You just, you know, you made the save with your brain rather than with some kind of gymnastics. And that's what Murray tries to do. It's what he does well, you know, for the last month or so.
Yeah, no question. Jonathan, when you look at what Mike Sullivan's done, during the swoon time, he was trying, I think, almost every combination he had, just trying to either find a spark or find some chemistry. How has the lines settled down for Mike right now, and how stable are they?
They've been stable for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really is the kind of coach who, you know, it doesn't have to take long for a line to start to get stale. He's willing, he's not shy about changing them up. And what they've settled into right now is Sidney Crosby's playing so well. He came back from an injury of his own where he missed four games in the beginning of December. He's been great since then. It really hasn't mattered who he's been with. Now, he's been with Jake Guentzel most of the time. He's having a career year. I mean, he has 23 goals already. He leads the team. It's been a long time since somebody in a full season, that somebody other than Crosby or Malkin led the team in goals.
Right.
It's been since before the last lockout. It was like 03-04, Ryan Malone. That was a long time. So
yeah.
That speaks to what Guentzel's been doing. But what they're really trying to do right now is find combinations that will work on the second and third line. Malkin's been in a slump. They're trying to find wingers that work well with him. It's always a challenge to find a center who can play well with Phil Kessel. So they've been trying Derek Brassard there. He's been kind of disappointing in that role. If they can find a second and third line, and you know, this search for the perfect second and third line, it might lead up to the trade deadline. Like that, they might be looking for somebody outside the organization to fit those spots. But it could be internal, too. The key is, if they get three lines going, it's just a matchup nightmare for opponents. Like that was the 2016 Cup.
Yep.
They had three lines going, and just, you know, pick your poison. And so that's what they're trying to get back to. And they're like on the fringes of it, but they're not exactly there quite as of yet.
But then again, Jonathan, when you look through this league, who really is cooking on the third line right now?
That's true. It's hard to have three lines
anymore. Yeah.
Tampa. Everything Tampa does.
Everything Tampa does turns to gold right now.
Mm-hmm. Toronto's a team that has a pretty good third line. Nazem Kadri is their third line center. But the list would be a lot shorter than, you know, teams that don't have that three-line attack.
I want to get to Gensel for a moment. You watched him develop over the last couple of years. Where do you see him even a little better than before, and what's the quality that's been consistent for him the entire time?
I think the one area where he's been better is he spent some more time in the gym in the off season, because he's not a big guy.
No.
And so in his first full season last year, he wore down a little bit, and you could tell there were, like, you know, he had some inconsistent stretches, and I think that probably had to do with fatigue. So the off season he spent in the gym helped him. He's been just so consistent. I mean, he hasn't gone more than a couple of games without a point. That's huge. The thing that's always been there since the beginning is his hockey IQ, his smarts. I mean, he has that knack for finding, you know, a soft spot in a defense, or finding a, you know, the right place to be in relation to Crosby. So that's, you know, Crosby's one of the elite playmakers who's ever played the game. If you can be on the same wavelength as him, you're going to be like three steps ahead of the game, and that's what Gensel does really well. So they just signed him to that contract extension, 5 more years, $6 million a year. He's gone nuts since then. He scored like 8 goals in 10 games since he signed his extension. So now it looks like the steal of the century. You're only paying him $6 million a year. You know, obviously that's going to come and go, but the thing that isn't going to come and go is Crosby's got a winger. I mean, we've talked about finding a winger for Crosby for, it seems like, forever. It was like a favorite pastime around here.
I know.
Nobody's talking about that anymore. Jake Gensel is the man for that job.
Yeah, over the years, the great teams with great lines have always had the center that you talked about. Crosby's one of the greats of all time. They've always had a sniper, okay? Brian Trottier always had Mike Bossy. Esposito always had Kenny Hodge. But they always had a great role player on that line. I think Chris Kunitz was a guy that was one of those great role players when he was with the Penguins. Is Brian Rust becoming that guy?
Yeah, well, he has been lately. And the way he does it is with his speed. And like, what he does is he sort of causes problems on the forecheck with that speed. And if you take an opposing team's defenseman and make them uncomfortable, like he does, And so that's a good thing. And then if it results in a turnover and the two guys who are waiting to pounce on that turnover are Crosby and Gensel, well, you got something going there. So for right now, Rust is definitely the guy in that spot. Dominic Simone is another guy that Crosby really likes playing with. Not the same style at all. I mean, he's more of a skill guy and he has good hands. But he sort of has that he can think on that wavelength with great players. Like, he played with Jagr in the World Championships, and he's playing with Malkin right now. He has that sort of, you know, that telepathy going with great players. So between Rust and Simone, they'll have a third wheel for that Crosby line. Without, you know, like I said, maybe they're looking in the trade market. They won't be looking for that spot, that's for sure.
Right. How have you felt about Malkin's play?
Well, like, he had a stretch where in October he was great, like one of the league's leading scorers. And then he went into this slump when the team did. And he was, like, really, really lost. Like, turning the puck over like crazy. Everything he tried didn't work. It's amazing to see a player that good lose confidence. And it happens. I mean, it happens to even the greatest of all time.
Sure.
But he did. And so he had no confidence handling the puck when he was trying to make things happen. So slowly since December or so, he's starting to come out of it. There was a couple of weeks where he was like a screaming liability. Like, it was going to be a turnover going the other way. Then it slowly became, you know, he's just a guy in a slump. Now he's starting to come out of the slump. When we talked about that three-line attack, Malkin going at a good clip is a huge part of that. I mean, the ideal is to have three lines that an opponent has to worry about. But if you only have two and they're centered by Crosby and Malkin, that's enough to worry about for most opponents. So Malkin getting going is a big thing to watch in the second half of the season.
I'm always one that looks at the West Coast trips. You know, like, you're out on the coast, it's a long trip, form building one night after another. I was trying to get around. I don't care if it's baseball watching a team make a West Coast swing, hockey team making a West Coast swing. That tells me a lot about who they are and where they are. What are you learning about their West Coast swing this time? I know they already had the one out to Edmonton and Calgary, so...
Yeah, well, that one they crushed everybody. That
yeah, no, they killed them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So far, they've split with Anaheim and LA on back-to-back nights. The one thing that I've noticed from that is They gave up a shorthanded goal in both games.
Yeah.
The first time it didn't hurt him. The second time it killed him. That's the flip side of having this star talent that we talk about. And the analogy I used in the story I wrote yesterday was, you know, a quarterback who has so much confidence that he tries to fit a ball through a tiny little window and he throws an interception?
Yep.
Happens all the time.
I love my arm.
Exactly. Well, the Penguins have like four guys like that on the power play at any given time. So they're going to try to make every play they can make. And sometimes it burns them. It's burned them a lot lately. That's something they need to shore up. The game tonight against San Jose is a huge game because San Jose has been great lately. They've won 15 of their last 18. They have Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns on defense, the best defense, you know, offensively in the league. Big clash of the Titans tonight. That'll tell you a lot in terms of how far the Penguins have come since that awful November, is how they deal with a team as good as San Jose in San Jose.
Yeah, and San Jose, as you mentioned, is playing great, and they're really good at home.
Yeah. The mobility on their decors is
They got Karlsson from Ottawa, and that was a huge pickup for them.
Yeah, you talk about a match and like a nightmare matchup for opponents. Those two guys they just never stop.
No, and not only that, they're not just really good offensive defensemen. I think if they were told to just play defense for now, I think they're two really good defensive defensemen.
Well, on top of that, possession's a huge thing.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's the way those guys play defense. They play defense by having the puck and keeping it.
Yeah.
Which is the best way to play defense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Jonathan, it's a real pleasure, as always. Thanks so much for your time. I always enjoy the talk very much.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Steve.
Jonathan Bombouli will come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the brand new Hyundai you deserve with savings of over $7,000. Buy a $25,000 2018 Santa Fe for only $18,259. That's a savings of over $7,000. A 2018 Hyundai Elantra is discounted to an unbelievable $14,810. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has a 2018 Santa Fe Sport that was $34,890 and now only $28,840. Hyundai comes with America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. No matter what size SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors has it. 2019 Hyundai Konas, only $23,210. 2019 Hyundai Tucson, only $26,110. 2019 Santa Fes, only $26,775. And the 2019 Santa Fe XL starts under $30,000. Now is the time to get the new Hyundai you deserve. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Nora Princiati will be joining us in the Boston Globe in the final half hour. We'll talk about Tom Terrific and the Patriots. So many fans in our area just bristle at the mere mention of the word Brady. Brady. Ugh. 8 straight AFC championship games. Brady. Greatest things in sliced bread. Sick of Brady. The key with Brady is this. Brady has done a great job of understanding at 41 how important his legs are to his success. If you look at his lower body, he's got strong, powerful legs, and that's allowed him to get at least something extra on the ball. I think it's allowed him to stay not just relevant, but at the top of his game. It's also something interesting as well. We're in this era, and Kyler Murray entering the NFL draft is another one of those, boy, it's a quarterback that can move. You know? Lamar Jackson, quarterback that can move. Baker Mayfield, quarterback that can move. Did you notice what all 8 quarterbacks had last weekend? Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Drew Brees, and Nick Foles. What did all 8 quarterbacks have in common? They're all pocket guys. Now, could Prescott move a little bit? Yes. Can Mahomes move a little bit? Yes. But essentially, they want to operate, including Dak Prescott, out of the pocket. All eight quarterbacks could have played in the 80s. Now, there would have been some cookie-cutter nut in the 80s that would have looked at Drew Brees and said he was too short.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.